If we get anybody else in a minute or two.
We have seven.
Okay. Okay, I'll get the community services meeting for June 23rd, 2020 started. I would like to do a roll call. I see Councilman Smiley, Councilman Carter, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Bell, Councilman Woods, President Hartley Nagel, Councilman Tackett, and Councilman Street. Do we have a motion on the
minutes? Councilwoman Durham's on.
Oh, Ms. Durham, sorry about that. You popped in there.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Pardon?
On the minutes?
Yes.
A second.
Say that yet.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Is there anybody I didn't get? Mr. Woods, did I call your name?
Yes, you did.
Okay. All right, so first on the agenda is that we have an update on the summer youth program from Mr. Henry. It looks like he's been unmuted. So do you want to go ahead with your report, Marcus?
Sure. Actually, Jane Rattani is going to give the update report, but I just want to, again, thank Council for their financial support for the summer youth program. As we've talked about before, it's been very challenging this year, obviously, like a lot of programs with the COVID pandemic. But I'm very proud of our community resource staff under Jane's leadership that's been handling this the last month or so. With that, I want to thank Jane Rattani. I want to thank Latoya Rodriguez and especially Mike Bagata for their assistance during this time. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jane for the update.
Thank you.
Hello. Hi, Jane Rattani, Department of Community Services. And I believe, thank you, Tara, for sharing the screen for me. I want to thank you all for the opportunity to share the plans for this summer's Youth Workforce Development Program. This has been a challenging time, as Marcus mentioned, and you know, again, thanking our staff who have worked diligently to ensure this summer's program's success, and Latoya and Michael have been doing an outstanding job, and so I'm glad that he publicly recognized them. Moving into giving you an overview, this year we did launch our online application, which aligns with the overall employment process within the county. This allowed applicants to easily upload necessary documents. And it also allowed HR and community services staff to streamline and make the application process more efficient. Having said that, however, the COVID-19 pandemic definitely necessitated a number of adjustments for onboarding, selection, and placement of youth. One thing I want to mention is that we are requiring a COVID-19 safety plans to be submitted by those work sites that will be hosting youth so that we can ensure our employee safety and that it's following suit with Newcastle County's policies. COVID has necessitated a delay in the start of the program. Our start dates will be staggered between June 29th and July 13th. And we have been working closely with HR to ensure the process is moving as quickly as possible, and we want to thank them for their assistance. The program end date remains the same, which is August 21st, which is actually an epilogue language and could not be altered or adjusted. Another adjustment that we've had to make is the suspension of the group orientation and training that we've held in previous years. We've usually held an on-site training for all of the youth for a week long, and we are not able to conduct that face-to-face training. So we are working with our worksite supervisors to facilitate orientation and workforce development trainings right on site, and as well as offering virtual training opportunities to youth in addition then to the job skill development training. Another, you know, just wanting to attribute directly to our hardworking staff is that we are on track to employ almost 150 youth this summer. And we are onboarding approximately 110 new youth specifically for the summer. And we are continuing the employment of approximately 38 youth hired during the school year. And those youth will continue to work at their current employment sites. Moving on to, you know, just to give you the third slide. Thanks. Just, you know, to give you a little bit of statistics in regard to the youth applicants. And again, as I mentioned, we had the online applications. We received 528 total applications this year, of which 312 were complete. And we have had 220 applicants who are meeting that income eligibility. The next slide talks about our work-based learning. Many of our prior work site partners are restricted on capacity to host youth as they continue to operate with suspended or limited operations. Therefore, we have developed a broader work-based learning model this summer to include a variety of workforce development experiences. We've worked with over 30 worksite partners who are committed to hosting youth. These worksites include Newcastle County government offices, nonprofit organizations, and the Colonial School District are all able to actually host youth at their sites. These positions will offer traditional work assignments in addition to internship opportunities and job shadowing experiences. The department is also working with capable partners to offer as many virtual work experiences as possible, which may include both direct work assignments as well as workforce development training. Directly after this presentation, you'll be hearing about the work experience provided through our partnership with Code Differently. Code Differently has offered youth employed by Newcastle County with workforce development and readiness skills year-round. Other virtual opportunities I wanted to highlight include remote learning for peer leadership and job skill development, along with social and emotional skill building. Youth will be developing peer-to-peer messaging and public service announcements about drug prevention and education. Youth will also be engaged in, as I mentioned briefly earlier, in workshops and virtual online trainings throughout the summer as a part of their employment opportunities. We're going to include information about future careers, virtual college visits, and information on technical skill preparation. And lastly, just to provide you with a status of our program support, for the summer 2020, we have a total funding amount of a little over $327,000, which would support approximately 147 youth. And as I mentioned, we are right on track to accomplish that. I too want to thank all of you and County Council for your ongoing support to ensure youth have meaningful work opportunities during the summer months. And thank you again for the opportunity to share this status.
All right. Thank you. Jane, are you open to questions if anyone has any?
Absolutely.
All right. Anyone from council have any questions for Ms. Ritenny before we move on to the next presentation? No questions? Okay. So next up will be Stephanie Eldridge, and evidently a number of the participants in the in the coding program. Is she available to speak now? I'm not seeing her on the...
Yes, I am on. Here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
I'm here. Yes.
Okay, great. We'll let you take it away then.
Okay, and we're going to have a couple more students that are going to join. So I just want to make sure we have Khalil and Eric who's going to short share screen, but we also have Zoe, Amaya, Zaria, Justin. Did I get everyone? Who is going to, Leah and Eric will be here, and also Tariq.
Okay. And as they, do you want to give Tara, do you want to cue Tara as to when they can, they're ready to speak? The order in which they're ready to speak?
Yep. So Stephanie, I'm going to present first. I already submitted a presentation, so I'm only going to talk about 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 3 to 5 minutes. And then I'm going to hand it over to our high school employees that are doing an amazing job within our program. And so they just wanted to give a demonstration of what they've been working on over the spring period. So I think you already have my presentation. Is someone going to bring it up or do I need to share directly?
I'm fine. I don't know what other people have.
Rachel's got it.
Sure, go ahead.
There you go. All right. Let me see everyone here. Okay, so we are code differently. And like what was mentioned earlier in the meeting by Jane, we are one of the partners with the work-based learning experience. You can go to the next screen. So the impetus of Code Differently was really born out of an idea that Tariq Hook, who's my partner, he's also on a call, and I experienced growing up. We both grew up in tech deserts, yet we ended up in a technology space as hiring managers. We found that there was a lack of diversity in technology when it came to racial diversity and also economically disadvantaged coming into the diversity field. We witnessed firsthand what it was like to not have technology support in our immediate areas. And we are determined to reverse the stats or the trend of not having access to technology, both equipment and education. Next slide. So Code Differently, we are an approved private and business trade school in New Castle County, Delaware. We focus on increasing diversity in technology through our innovative programming. Just to draw a landscape here before the students start. So racial and economic disadvantaged diversity is at a disproportionately low in our tech field. And if history repeats itself, it's gonna continue to widen the gap. And what we mean by that is during recessions, if history repeats itself, minorities are the ones that are most impacted. I think we all saw with COVID-19, even now we're doing all the meetings virtually, that technology is an essential skill. We also wanted to make it clear that before COVID, one of the areas of hiring was really in the technology field, but again, looking at the diversity in the field, we felt it was very much needed to provide that education, mentoring, and even attraction into the field to get people interested in it and transferring into the workplace. So what do we do? Basically, we make it really simple. We clarify and simplify the pathway into the tech world. We understand the dynamics of the community, right? We are talking about, when we talk about community, we're talking about people, we're talking about programs, employers, allies, barriers. We develop programs to meet the needs of the people that we're serving. We partner to retool existing programs that already exist and make sure that they're aligned to the market. We partner with employers to identify pathways into the tech employment landscape. And that's very important. We don't want to, you know, create all these programs where we're trying to train individuals how to get into the tech field without partner with employers that will then hire them into tech spaces. we advocate to remove any barriers that are impeding progress. That could be equipment. I mean, we have programs that are both, are high school, university, and community programs. And some of the challenges that people don't necessarily think of. I mean, with COVID-19, you have some families that are sharing one computer for the students to go to school, for the parents to work, and for, you know, to access educational needs. We advocate to remove those barriers. We connect to the critical masses, right? So we really focus on how do we build relationships with people organically. Like, we meet people where they are, and we partner with organizations to provide wraparound services. We know we are not all things to everyone. Our gift is around technology education and also mentorship in the technology space. So we look for partners to team with if there are other needs by the people that we're working with. Next slide. And Maya is shocked by this one. So this is Amaya. She's one of the students that's been in our year-round program. But what we're going to introduce to you today is the Pipeline Dev Shop. And Pipeline is truly a paid work experience. So while we have teams that are working in our dev shop, they are really working on real-life technology projects, right? So what it's like to work into a dev shop where we have many different needs of technologists, from a project manager to a business analyst, to a software developer, to someone that is testing the software. The other thing we do is we partner with, or we rely on our partnerships with corporations to come in and speak to our students. We know that we're creating organic relationships that could benefit both the employer and our students in the future. We do the same thing with universities. In fact, one of the students that's going to present today, through one of our partnerships with Delaware State University, we were able to help her apply and fast track a decision in order to be accepted into Dell State. Next slide. One very important outcome that I wanted to point out is 75% of the Pipeline program participants will continue in education and technology in a technology aligned field, right? And that's really important. You'll hear that many of these students, this is their first opportunity to have access to technology education. And as they go along, even if they didn't think about it before, they're continuing their pathway through technology and then eventually on to work. So what I'd like to do now is turn it over to our Code Differently Pipeline Dev Shop. Eric is going to kick it off for us here. And we have a host of team members here and also the two educators that led the way, Leah and Eric. But Eric, let me kick it off to you.
Hello. Hi, everyone. As mentioned, I am Eric Sosaka Morales, and I was a participant in the program of Code Differently. I hope everyone is well during these uncertain times, especially now. Throughout this program, we've learned so many things, and we are honored to be here presenting to you and sharing with you our journey and our story, in which every day of work was a new chapter to that story, and every day and every hour was a new page to that story. Throughout this program, we learned a lot about each other, about ourselves, about the things and capabilities we didn't even think we had possible. We met individuals in banks and firms that we would have never thought imaginable for us to reach out to and build connections with for our future. Throughout this program, we faced adversity, and some of us didn't come in knowing how to code. But throughout this program, we gained confidence as a team and learned how to write code and learned how to work as a team. We started this program as a team, but today I am honored to say that we finished the program as a family. And now I would like to present to you our team.
Hello, everyone. My name is Khalil Nichols. I'm a graduating senior from Delcastle Technical High School. My role at Code Differently is a business analysis, and my time spent at Code Differently has shown me that there are different parts in the team, especially in the coding division, which has given me an insight into working with a large group and communicating efficiently and effectively with others.
Hi, I'm Lily Jackson. I'm a rising senior at Delcastle Technical High School, and I work with Code Differently as a developer. And what it's taught me is how to handle myself in programming workspaces and team building workspaces.
Hi, I'm Eric Sosleco Morales, and I'm a rising senior at St. George's Technical High School. I was a developer at Code Differently, and throughout this, I learned and gained insights that there's a world of opportunities for me as a minority, that challenges can be faced. Some of the biggest challenges in Delaware, such as recidivism, the continuous cycle of a family's path and never ongoing on your own path. And this has truly opened a world of opportunity for me in the future in my college years.
Hello, my name is Zaria Kramer, and I'm a graduated senior from Delcastle Technical High School. Working with Code Differently has, as a business analysis, has exposed me to a world of different things that I never thought I would do, like ever. But with the help and the connections that Code Differently has, I will be attending Delaware State University and furthering my knowledge. Woo-woo.
Hi, I'm Justin Lorenzo, and I'm a rising senior at Delcastle Technical High School, and I am a developer for Code Differently. Working alongside Code Differently has given me more experience in the lifestyle of everyday coders. I've learned critical points on how to communicate and how to fix a problem.
Hi, my name is Imaya Bell, and I'm a rising junior at Howard High School of Technology. I played a role as a developer for Code Differently. I was a part of the program during the summer and was chosen to do the year-round program. I started off not knowing anything to learning a whole bunch. I learned that communication is key because without it, the project would be all over the place. Now I pass it off to Eric.
Thank you, Amaya. Now, we would like to present to you the mobile apps that high school students built. This app was an app created with the purpose of bringing our community together. And this brought us together as a team and also as individuals. I'm having an issue sharing my screen. Whoever has the ability to allow me to share my screen, could they please do so whenever possible?
Who was just sharing, Khalil?
Maybe not Eric.
Okay.
I believe I'm able to share. Thank you, Khalil. Sorry about that. Technical issues sometimes. They're inevitable. So there were two teams, the House of E and the Code Strikers. This is the mobile app created by the Code Strikers. Now, I would like to take you on through the journey that created this app. So once a user is introduced to the app and downloads the app, they will be welcomed to a wonderful animation that introduces the Code Differently logo. Once that animation has gone through, it will then hit welcome. If they have already made an account, feel free to type in your information and you will be sent a notification telling you that if you truly want to be reminded. If not, no worries. You have the option to be in the user and join our purpose and our mission. You can simply just hit sign up here, fill out the information, hit submit, and go back to the nav bar on top and go to your user home. You have the option to check your profile, to send requests to friends, to see instructions. And if you don't know how to play the game or how to use our mobile app, you have the option to read our instructions in both English and Spanish. And once you have understood the app and know how it works, you have the option to hit regresar al juego, which states that you're returning to the game. And boom, you're introduced to a wonderful page with animations and a scoreboard. Oh, there you go. Finally won. The computer won, but the logic is there. And now let's say if you would like to help our purpose and our cause, you have the option to donate. We were able to link the accounts to PayPal, so individuals would have the ability to join our cause and our purpose. It's as simple as making a PayPal account and entering the amount of money you would like to receive or to donate. Now, I would like to ask anyone, how many lines of code do you think it took to do this game? This app? 100? 200? 300? No. To make this app, it took 2,600 lines of code in order for this app to be created. And with that in mind, I would like to pass it on to Justin, who will speak of the app created by the House of E.
Thank you. And as you can see, this is the welcome page for the House of E Rock, Paper, Scissors app. And if you click login, it will ask the player for the username and the password. Once you enter both, you click enter and it takes you to the user home. If the player does not know how to play Rock, Paper, Scissors, there's an option at the very bottom to how to play. And reading the directions on how to play versus the computer and versus the player, at the very bottom, the player has the option to go back to the user home. And playing versus the computer, it allows you to either win or lose. There's no way to tie. And to talk furthermore of the app, our code was that we used if and else statements. If statements were either if the player and the computer both picked the same option, it would give neither a point. And if the player got a point, it would give them one blue star, or it would give the computer a blue star. And at the very end, you would get a pop-up showing whether you want to play again or quit. If you press quit, it takes you back to the user home. And in the user home, in the profile, it saves all the games that you've played, whether you lost or win. And if the player wants to donate, there's also a donate button, and there's a welcome donate page. And if you click yes, it allows the user to donate to any cause they like, whether it's Black Lives Matter or feeding children across the nation. And once more, going back, they can also have the option to go back to the user home and a button to log out, which takes you back to the login page. And now for our journeys throughout the pandemic, and with you, Khalil.
Eric, I just need you to stop sharing, change like a script, share my screen.
Yeah, give me a second. It's not giving me, showing me the option to do that.
Okay. So, day one, we were first. That was our first day of Code Differently. That was the day we were learning how to code. And Code Differently was a game changer for me and many others. It has given us many impactful moments in which moving forward introduced us to better opportunities. Day 9, we began to work remotely from home due to the COVID-19. And day 32, in just a short few weeks, we were continuing to work from home and we manifested into two groups. The House of Eight and Code Strikers were born. Day 88, we finally released our first launch and our final launch. Moving on.
Now that you have seen the wonderful apps created by both the Code Strikers and the House of E, we would like to give you a before and after comparison of the struggles we had to go through, because it wasn't always all sunshine and rainbows as you saw. And as you will see, it was a struggle and it was a journey we had to go through in order for this app to be created. And now, an insight into the Code Strikers with Zoe.
So this is our app, the first release we released as a whole. And as you can see, it's not very cohesive. A lot of it is not appealing. There was a lot of issues with button size and imaging. And this is our final app. We chose to make the button sizes bigger. We chose to make the images bigger. If you look over at the play game screen, instead of having buttons, we changed them to images to make it more user-friendly and interactive. Mm-hmm. And we also got to add a really cool Code Differently animation to our home screen.
And now we would like to give you an inside look on what the House of E has been working on in our changes throughout the app. And now with you, Amaya.
Thank you, Justin. As you guys can see, this is when we first launched our app. There was a lot of white space, the buttons weren't big enough, and we didn't use enough CSS. Also, the colors did not match the logo. On to you, Zarya.
Thank you, Imaya. So these are a few screens that you saw earlier today, and we wanted to focus on these screens because we feel as though they were the most impacted. So we increased the button sizes and the theme of the app. We changed it so where it is matching the logo. Our donate page, you know that we linked it to the NCCVT page, and our players page, we linked it to where you can see the wins and losses and you can get awards by achievements. It's more user-friendly and it meets the UI UX criteria, which is the gameplay of Apple and Google Play and the pixels and resolutions of different phones.
Thank you guys for listening. If you guys have any questions, we'd love to answer them at this time.
Okay, if we can go back to the full screen so I can see if council members have questions. We'd like to thank you very much for taking your time to show us all of this. Are there questions for the participants in the program? Any questions? Councilman Cartier, yes.
Are you guys going to market the app?
We'd love to, especially during these times. It would be a great idea.
Okay.
Figure out how to do that. Now you've got the product developed. The next stage is how to monetize it and turn it into a, you know, business.
Right? And that was a great thing. Some of us didn't know how to code, but some of us came back with background knowledge on marketing and building websites and building business cards. It was just all cohesive at the end, even though we struggled a bit sometimes, but at the end, we went through it as a team.
Does anyone else have questions? Yes, is that Mr. Carter?
Yes, I'm just curious. I mean, it's good work. Now that you know the coding language, have any of you thought about some of the public applications that you could solve with these type of apps and things and what you might be doing next?
We all talked about what careers that we wanted to go to in the future, and we thought about how we could use Code Differently's knowledge. So, for example, I want to be an interior designer. I want to decorate houses. So I feel as though with Code Differently, I can build my own website, and I can put out my products, and I can book with people.
Any further questions? All right. Thank you so much. Oh, wait a minute. Councilman Bell?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment. You know, each of you have made a terrific presentation today and your hard work. And I think that listening and understanding the hard work that you've put into it, there's no doubt in my mind that you'll go far in life. And I think that the future is yours. So, you know, today's youth, tomorrow's future. And by what I've seen today, you'll have a very bright future. Special thanks to Stephanie and to Marcus Henry and the department for their outstanding work and working with each one of you and your commitment and their commitment. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anything that any of the participants would like to add at this point? No?
Oh, by that, do you mean like any questions or concerns we have for the county or?
Well, if you've got a question, I think we have some time. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. So the biggest question I had personally was, how do you believe that these programs, and if they expand, how would this affect and challenge some of Delaware's greatest challenges, such as inequity or recidivism?
I'm going to repeat that because it was a little hard for me to hear. How do we think these programs will impact inequity? Is that the question?
Yes. If they expand, how much more will the impact be on inequity and recidivism in you?
I'm happy to lead off, but Marcus, do you have anything that was part of your plan in all of this?
not so much a plan, but just really quickly, I want to thank all the young people for the tremendous job they've done under very difficult circumstances. Also want to thank Stephanie for her leadership with this program over the last couple of years. It's a great partnership. I think, you know, honestly, one of the greatest challenges facing, this is just my opinion, is the digital divide that still happens here in Delaware in terms of access to the internet and access to these resources. And anything county government can do to help facilitate that, like these programs, working with Code differently with others, is a job well done. So we need to incentivize, do more of this for Newcastle County government.
May I ask one of the participants, did you guys volunteer to do this, or is this something you had to apply for?
In regards to the presentation or to the program?
For the program.
For the program, we had to apply for.
But for the program, it was at our own reach.
Okay.
Yeah, so we actually so partner with Newcastle County that pays the wages, right, for this program for the year round. And we went to Delcastle. We had already had Amaya, and we went to St. George's, the Votex. So the Votex were very much interested in providing co-op opportunities for their students. When we first reached out to them about how Code Differently can help, there were two students out of 39 that had co-op opportunities, and those are really aligned to like working at Best Buy and not really doing hands-on creative technology. So out of this program, out of those 39 that were eligible for a co-op, we had 25. So the numbers shot up right away, right, on getting actual work-based experience through these programs.
Anything, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, then Councilman Carter?
Thank you. I just wanted to congratulate you on your entrepreneurship and your dedication. And I, when you talked about recidivism, one of the things that we talk about routinely is that education helps. And I think if you look at what you could offer to somebody else to teach them coding, even if it's down the line where you might, you know, attend college and think about teaching. You understand how you got to this point, and it's the person that understands that because they did it from the ground up that can pass that knowledge on to others and make them feel as if they can also accomplish something. So whether it comes at a lower age or whether it comes with recidivism, I think that the educational component is something that you can certainly pass on to others.
Councilman Carter?
Yeah, I wanted to take a shot at Eric's question. I mean, there is clearly the personal development experience of technology and jobs. Big data is going to be everything in the future, so having that. But a lot of these apps can solve social problems. It's something called civic technology. So when it comes to inequity, it is a way to engage people who are often left out, don't have a voice. You can do that now through these type of apps and get them tied in and mobilize them to actually seek that difference. I first got exposed to this type of coding many years ago in a response. I was part of a coastal team responding to Hurricane Katrina. And working with FEMA, we were trying to figure out where all these people that were dislocated were going. And we were spending a lot of federal funds trying to do that. I worked with the National Oceanographic Atmospheric. And oddly enough, it was a group of volunteer coders. At that time, we were calling them hackers, who came up with an online system that voluntarily people started entering where they were, who in their family was missing. And they were able to have us connect up more families and more people together than we could do through the government. So when I see these technologies and apps, the question I asked about, are you thinking about what to do with them next? They're using civic technology for citizens to serve a lot of the purposes and supplement a lot of what we do in government is really, really a huge part of the future that I think will have some economic benefits for those that are doing it, some benefits to nonprofits, and I think some benefits to society. So I urge you to do a little homework on civic technology and where it's being used for everything from identifying and solving where potholes are for governments to where parking spaces are to make parking more efficient and less impervious surface. It's wide open. It's a great tool, and it's amazing how technology can remote can actually help government be much more efficient, solve those problems. Inequity is one of those, and a big one of those that it can help with. The recidivism, I know I worked with the Hope Commission in Wilmington quite a while on that. It's more challenging. I think the key to this is to get people engaged, get them involved, particularly in that vulnerable age of 13 to 18, to keep people going on track so they don't get down the wrong track in the first place. And I think this type of program helps with that. So I hope that's a little bit of a insight into some of your question. I think it's great. I'm really impressed. I love technology and it's exciting. And I hope some of you guys will come back and help us solve some of our technology problems on council. We have a few that I think you could help with.
Thank you, Councilman Carter. Mr. Henry, thank you to you and your great department. Yes.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask, do you mind if I kind of give a wrap up to, to where, what's next for them? Okay. So thanks again for allowing us to come in and allowing our youth team to present the what you see right now, the Rocks, Paper, Scissors app that is was really built to create some type of social interaction during a pandemic. They're going to continue to refine that application through the first part of the summer. We're then going to move into them building out other apps. So that they can continue to refine their skill set. What's next for them? We have few going on to higher education. For Code Differently, we also run a university program that's normally held here in Delaware, but because of the pandemic, we have students, 45 students that are across the US that we're also running a program. And what we do is the students that are focusing on computer science, engineering, or information systems, we teach them how to code for the workplace. They learn theory in college, we teach them applied. Last year we ran the college program and 97% of the students that were in our program received offers. Majority of them got offers with JP Morgan Chase right here in Delaware. So we look at this as a feeder program to going into our university program and then going into the workplace and hopefully here right here in Delaware. I should also say that we have community programming, and I've been talking to the executive office and more specifically to CAO Vanessa Phillips about how do we help with the pandemic recovery. You know, we're proving with these programs from high school to college and beyond that we're helping people who have not been in the technology industry before. We're preparing them with a skill set that they then can apply to the workplace. You know, COVID-19 is just going to expand the amount of technology jobs that are out there. And it's the one industry that we're not seeing, or two, healthcare and technology are two industries that we're not seeing any decline in need. I was just on a call with JP Morgan Chase for 4 hours prior to this call, and the question was, how can we get more technologists? So we look at these programs that we've developed specifically around the most vulnerable. How do we help a group, a group of people that were just like us, right? Gain the skill set needed for the jobs today and tomorrow. We know it's gonna be life changing, and we have proof. We have two students that were in our summer program last year that went on to that are now working. One of them is working for, Tariq, the company is Christian working for?
Oh, Christian's working for
BYM Mellon. BYM Mellon as a technologist. And we have another one that just finished up as a going into data analyst role. I can't remember which job he's going to, and maybe JP Morgan Chase. But the point is that when people think of technology, we hear it all the time, technology is hard. It takes training people in the way that they know how to learn, right? And most importantly, we educate people how to learn, because technology is a field that continues to evolve. So if you come to us, we don't instruct and just tell you what to do, we show you how to learn. So again, I appreciate the time with you, and we look forward to coming back again and showing you what they produce for the summer. And we have another, I think we're going up from 25 to 50. So we have a whole another crew 25 youth employees working with us this summer too.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you again. I just want to make sure, because of the number of participants, I want to make sure, I don't know if Councilman Hollins is present, President Hartley Nagel, and Councilman Street, they're kind of at the bottom of my screen, so I just wanted to make sure they're recognized as being in attendance. Mr. Henry, thank you again. And at this point, we'll go into anything under other.
Does Mr. Street have his hand up?
Yes.
You do have your hand up. Oh, okay. Thank you. Well,
I couldn't let these young people come in here and not say anything. You know, what you've done has got you off to a very positive path. And quite frankly, in my opinion, I think your potential in pursuing your dreams is unlimited. I think it's also critical that the question that Eric asked, you know, I think this is critical, and what you're doing has a great deal of potential of helping to resolve the inequities up and down or throughout our society at all levels. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you know as well, if not better than I do, that low-income children were not able to or did not take advantage of the so-called virtual learning that's taking place from March through the end of the school year. And it's these kind of activities that can encourage a young person to focus on success and maximize his or her potential, as opposed to being with the wrong people doing the wrong thing. So I just want to encourage you to continue down this positive endeavor and encourage others to do the same. And as it relates to recidivism, you know, it's never too late to begin something new that's going to have a positive impact on you for life. And we can take this, it should be incorporated into our schools, it should be incorporated in Ferris, it should be incorporated at the prison level. One of the criticisms that I have had throughout my career is the fact that it's supposed to be Department of Corrections, but they don't correct anything. And more importantly, they're not giving people new skills when they come out. So that you have nothing but what you came in there with, which increases the likelihood of you going back out in the street and doing the exact same thing. So I just want to encourage you. And I was going to ask Mr. Henry, but I didn't want it to seem like I was picking a fight with the young people here. But, you know, we bragged, and rightfully so, about 147 to 150 kids being able to participate this summer. Well, how many applied? How many didn't get jobs? And I don't want you to answer the question now, but I know it's probably likely that more applied and didn't get jobs than did, and that's why I put, and other members of council put their money, we put our money where our mouth is, into the program because of the importance of it and the number of young people that it has the potential to impact. So we're going to keep fighting to increase the number of participants, and hopefully that will increase the number of participants who can be serious, be as serious as all of you have obviously been about this very, very positive endeavor. And this is coming from somebody who could have benefited from it back in the day, because I'm probably one of the most technically inept people you will ever meet.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Smiley, did you have your hand up?
I was agreeing with Councilman Street. I'm fighting with him for the position of number one technology inept.
Okay. Mr. Henry, any comments? You're going to have to unmute. Thank you.
The council president has her hand up.
Oh, council president, you have to unmute yourself. There you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate all these young people for the great job they did on this application, getting through everything they have learned. It is really exciting to see this and everything each and every one of you is doing. And it really validates, you know, the work that we're doing. It gives us or for myself, I can speak, a sense of a feeling of we are able to reach out and that we're able to do something for you and that you can take away and take out into the world and into the future to make a living. You have skills that you will use probably the rest of your life and also as you increase those skills. And so you really did a phenomenal job and you're a role model to a lot of other kids that maybe they thought like you did talked about in the beginning that, you know, you didn't know if you could do it. You struggled, but then you're talking about that you got through it, that you worked as a team and everything that you learned along the way and that you're confident now in what you know. So congratulations. And I want to know how many students went through, Mr. Henry? How many students graduated from this?
I'm not sure if Mr. Henry or Ms. Aldridge would be better.
Stephanie, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephanie?
So last year was our first year, and out of the 22 students we had, we only had two graduating seniors. So two of them graduated, and those are the two that are currently working in tech jobs.
Thank you very much.
This year we have... So this year we had eight students that were seniors that graduated, and six of them are pursuing further education in a technology-aligned field.
So they're actually pursuing this as a result of this program?
So when we took an initial survey of what people wanted to do at the very beginning, and I think from that we had two of them where they were pursuing technology already, and four of them have now decided to align to a technology field.
Fabulous.
So now we're up to six. Yes.
Thank you.
And it was just exposure. It was exposure. This was their first opportunity to get access to technology learning in the way that we do it.
Very good. And thank you for all you do too. You did a great job.
Thank you. And I have to point out Tariq Cook, who's my partner on here. He's been silent, but it's not just me. We're a team, and we have Leah, and we have some of our other instructors on here, too. Thank you.
Well, thank you all for the work that you're doing on this. It's been great to have everybody. At this point, I'm mindful of the time, and I'm going to move. Does anyone have anything under other? I'm not seeing hands. Ms. Finnegan, do we have anyone under public comment?
I see no public comment.
Okay, thank you. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second? May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. So
Back at 5 o'clock.
Back at 5. Okay, thank you, everyone. Thank you, students.